I wonder, friends, do you have an interesting name? Interesting name. Have you ever tried to trace your ancestors? Where your roots lie? In my ministry over the years in Kalibaki, I was often asked, especially by families who'd immigrated to America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, like, they'd written to me. In a letter to me, they said they thought perhaps they had a link with the church in Kalibaki way in the past. Could I check the church books and inform accordingly? And of course, I was always happy to help out where I could. And of course, being here in Knatts this morning in North Antrim, we all know, for many of us here, our roots lie back in Scotland. I'm very thankful for that heritage of the past. Of course, also many names reflect the trade and occupation of the original owners. And names like Mason indicates someone perhaps who in the past was a stonemason. Smith may have been a smithy. Hunter, driver, butcher, thatcher, and so on. The name indicated perhaps jobs were done in the past. In Under Wales, over the centuries, so many people acquired the surnames, whether Davies, Jones, or Williams, making it very hard to distinguish one family from another. The name Jones in Wales always caused a problem. And so you got a Welsh village with the Jones the fishmonger, Jones the schoolmaster, or Jones the baker, thus indicating their trade or profession in order to distinguish who is being referred to. Let me add a more later note to address just now. Can I say else to this? In one village, Jones the baker was known as Jones the crust. But sometime after that, when the Queen visited that bakery, after that, that man became known as Jones the upper crust. Yes, names indicated something. Names brought some sort of message. But this morning, we are coming to Matthew chapter 1 for a consideration of a very important name. The name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Indeed, in this chapter, Matthew chapter 1, we're discovering here two names or two titles given to our Saviour. And so this morning you have two texts in this one address. Matthew 1 and verse 21 speaks of Christ being called Jesus, our Saviour. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 tells us that his name is Emmanuel, God with us. From these two names, we're just referring to Jesus Christ. We will see the following. And those who are in the habit of taking notes here in Knatts, I have two main headings for consideration this morning. We see here, first of all, a comfort in our sinfulness. That is, he is our Saviour from sin. And secondly, we'll see a comfort in our loneliness. That is, he is with us at all times. Let's then take each one of these in turn. Our comfort in our sinfulness. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 states, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus means Saviour. Mary and Joseph did not choose that name for themselves, but rather specifically instructed by the angel Gabriel to call their baby son Jesus. More than that, they were told what the name signified. It is he who will save his people from their sins. You see, friends, the one who was born in Bethlehem of Judea was God's one and only Son. He came to the world to deliver us from our sinfulness. Jesus Christ came to carry our sins in and through a substitutionary death upon that cruel cross at Calvary. And so whenever I speak this morning to you about a comfort in our sinfulness, we're all sinners. We all miss the mark. We all fail our Lord and our God miserably day after day. But the comfort lies in knowing there's a Saviour. Someone to deliver us from our sins. Someone to make us new creatures in Christ, in and through faith in his name. That's our comfort this morning. You see, Jesus Christ did not come simply to teach or to heal or set an example, even though he most certainly did all those things, and all those things are very important. Jesus Christ did not come to save us from our poverty, from ignorance, or from social injustice. He knew he does all those things this very day. But rather, friends, rather, he came primarily to deliver us from our sins, deliver us from our lost conditions, and bring to us and give to us new life in and through faith in himself. There's our comfort this morning. Deliverance from our sin. But then, this word sin is not a popular word these days, and it appears not to be often used. People prefer to use words like, rather than using the word sin, they use a word like, or mistake. What a mistake. Or an error. Or a bad judgment. But those words in themselves are not satisfactory. Those words in themselves don't give a proper definition of concerning the rottenness of our hearts and our failure to live for God. To use the word sin today is considered by many to be a no-no. But friends, in reality, this is what all our unworthy actions amount to. Before a holy God, and our God is holy, as we stand before a holy God, we are sinners. We miss the mark day by day. We fail to live for him as we should. But then again, there's confusion. Someone asked the question, well, what is sin? What is sin? Well, on these occasions, I so often fall back upon my boyhood days of learning sorry catechism in my home congregation of Ballinlagan. And there I was taught very clearly that sin is a disobeying of God's word, of God's law, and God's ways. To sin is simply to break God's law as revealed to us in the Bible. Friends, for ourselves this morning, for us, our sin is that of choosing to please ourselves rather than pleasing God and honoring him. Sin is rejection and rebellion toward the one who has made us, our Creator God. Today, you and I appreciate When people say to God today, don't tell us how to live our lives, we're going to go our own way. We're going to be ourselves. Don't tell me about sin. Whereas in reality, they're doing the right thing. That is sin. That is sin. That is failure to live for the Lord and to please Him. When people say to God today, we don't like your Ten Commandments. We don't like your Sermon on the Mount. We don't like these things because they inhibit our freedom. We're going to ignore them. Again, that is sin. When there's a desire to overthrow laws concerning honesty and morality, we have our own rules. In God's eyes, again, that is sin. There's no other word to describe it. A disobedience to our Maker. But even though people try to ignore God's standards, nevertheless, God makes it very clear to us. They must be trying to please Him, to live for Him, to serve Him at all times. We can only do that in and through the Saviour, Jesus Christ. And so, friends, that's where the comfort comes. That's where the comfort comes this morning for you and for me. For the man in the pulpit, the congregation in the pew this morning, when you and I recognize that we're sinners before God, understand that before God we're miserable failures, but when we know our Savior for ourselves as Lord and Master of our lives and we're found trusting Him day by day, what's that but comfort? Comfort for our hearts, comfort for our lives. As you step out then day by day, confidently, trusting our Lord more and more and pleasing only Him at all times. How reassuring our words like 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 which tells us, Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. A short text, 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. A short text full of meaning and significance. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came to the world to save you and me through faith in His name. Friends, does that not bring great comfort to us this morning? Christ has already come for us, and we through faith in Him are safe. And we're told in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, salvation is found no one else, but no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That name is the name of Christ our Savior. And that's why, friends, you and I continually find great comfort in knowing Christ for ourselves and endeavoring to walk with Him day by day in our lives. And isn't that why you and I as believers are also heartbroken? Heartbroken these days. Not only become very aware of very real sinful actions done on the part of other people, but more than that, also hearing the name of our Lord and Savior being blasphemed and mocked and belittled. And we who are Christians this morning find that that really hurts us. When in the street you hear a conversation perhaps, you mind your own business, you hear a conversation. In that conversation, God's name is taken in vain. Turn on your TV. Again, the name of Jesus Christ is belittled and mocked. And friends, we as Christians this morning, who are sensitive in our hearts, who love the Savior for ourselves, we're heartbroken and we're vexed by these things, aren't we? We're vexed. But our comfort lies in knowing assuredly that in Christ Jesus, our sins have been forgiven us. We've been made new creatures in Him. I would also say a word addressing believers this morning. If there should be someone in church this morning and you've not yet committed your ways to Christ, yes, you agree with church, you agree with attending church, you agree with all the minister tells you week after week here, you agree with all these things, but you've not yet put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ the Savior. At this stage, I would encourage you and say to you, give thought to being said to this morning. My friends, you each one know your own hearts. I don't know your heart. I don't know your heart at all. But that's one thing I do know. As a minister of the gospel, I'm called upon before God to present the challenge. The challenge to you all this morning to ask yourself the question before God, is my Savior real to me? Am I trusting my Savior? Is he the one I'm depending upon? And this I say by especially to our younger people in church this morning, those in teenage years, if you're not yet committed your ways to Christ, I can really encourage you and say to you, do it before it's too late. A comfort in our sinfulness. But then secondly, we consider this morning a comfort in our loneliness. A comfort in our loneliness. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 tells us, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Friends, if we find comfort already in knowing our sins forgiven us through our Savior, there's no added comfort for us in knowing our Lord and God is always with us as His believing people. You see, the baby born in the manger in Bethlehem was none other than God in human flesh. He did not come thundering down from the skies like Superman, destroy evil men with supernatural powers. No. Rather, he came to a baby, born to a virgin, to Mary, an ordinary, humble Jewish girl. But coming as he did in physical form, this point in time, he's promised to always be with us. Always with us. These words refer to the omnipotence of our God. Omnipotence. Again, that's a big word this morning for us. I'm not insulting you, but just in case someone's not sure what the word means, let me define it for you. It refers to the omnipresence of God. Omnipresence, I should have said. Tells us here that God the Lord is always with his children. He's always with us in the journey of life, the ups and downs of life, in every situation of life. We have the guarantee of the presence of God continually with us, upholding and helping. John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 tells us, He was in the beginning God. All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. The very beginning, He was there. Throughout the history of mankind, He's always been there. Friends, there never was a moment in time when Jesus Christ was not present with His believing people. More than that, Jesus Christ will also be present with his people right into eternity and forever. Friends, is that not comforting this morning? Is that not a comfort to you? Emmanuel, God with us. Not only God with us today, but tomorrow, every other day, as it comes along in life. And then ultimately in eternity, God still with us, as you and I join him there in eternity. There's a comfort for us in our loneliness. We are never alone. We're never left alone. Our Lord is always by our sides. And that must indeed lift us up this morning and encourage us. Two subheadings. The presence of Jesus Christ always with us brings a challenge. It brings a challenge. Yes, the abiding presence of Christ is always with us. But that means that Christ always sees us, always is with us, not that we do. This includes our times of failing and of letting him down, or missing the mark. And so that challenges us afresh this morning. It challenges us to be all the more godly in our living, and that we please him all the more by means of obedience and trust. We who truly love our Saviour realise that failing Christ brings distress to our hearts. The distress and disappointment of failing our Lord is indeed a heavy burden to carry. And so the Lord Jesus always challenges us to be better in the future, to be more faithful, more loyal, and more true to himself. God with us. But then secondly, the presence of Jesus brings a comfort. A comfort. It brings comfort to every child of God, every Christian, for us to know and to understand that in every situation of life, we have a true friend, a friend who will never leave us, a friend we can turn to continually for help and for strength. Friends, is that not a comfort? Is that not a comfort for you this morning? In every situation of life, in the uncertainties of life, we have a true friend to turn to. One who's always there for us. There to help. No matter what our need may be, he's able to supply and strengthen at the point of our needs. He is always there for us. And what a joy that is in the heart of a child of God's. Through the presence of the Lord. By way of application here, do you sometimes feel lonely? Perhaps your circumstances are such. There were once you lived in your home with your family members, one by one for varying reasons, maybe death or marriages, all this, that you're now left alone. And you feel lonely sometimes. But I'm here to say to you this morning, in your loneliness, don't forget God with us. In your loneliness, you're never alone. Your Lord and Master is always by your side to help you and to assist you. Always remember that you have an unseen companion who loves and cares for you, and one who will not fail you nor forsake you. Proverbs 18 and verse 24 reminds us that there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We should understand that that friend is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Yes, God with us is a challenge and a comfort for all of our lives. But what a comfort it is, especially this morning, for those who may feel alone, or for those this morning in church who are passing through difficult times of poor health, ill health, distressing times. You may feel very much on your own, but the same application is appropriate for you too. In your illness, you're not alone. Your Lord's still by your side. While Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, deals primarily with the birth of Jesus Christ, we can never forget the purpose of Christ's coming to earth. A son of man with a sinless beginning, when as a baby he was born without sin. He had a sinless life, when for 33 years he was perfect in all that he thought, said and done. At the end of those 33 years, Jesus Christ offered himself to his Father in heaven as our sinless substitute, as our sacrifice for sin. Our sinless substitute, our sacrifice for our sins. What a comfort that is. There on the cross, he took the place of sinners like us, who would trust in him for eternity. As we turn to him continually, we find in him that pardon, that comfort, and that strength to face the future with himself. Upon a life I have not lived, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. Jesus Christ is our Savior and Emmanuel, God with us. This is the true meaning of Christ's coming to earth. Can you prove Jesus Christ in these ways in your own life? Can you say this morning truly, Jesus Christ is real to me as my Savior. I'm trusting him with all my heart. I'm putting Christ first in my life. And if you say that, then you'll be able to say also say, I'm trusting Jesus Christ, my Emmanuel, as my companion, as one who's with me forever and ever. Christian friends, may each one of us be aware of the presence of Emmanuel at all times in our lives. Take the sermon home with you in one or two's time, afternoon after your lunch. Give some other thought to what you've heard. Of all, may God help us each one to be all the more loyal and true to him. Let's pray. Thank you, our gracious Father in heaven, for your word to our hearts. Thank you, our Lord and God, for your word this morning, which has brought a word of challenge as well as a word of comfort. Thank you, our Father in heaven, for your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who has died to our sins, the one who through his death has brought new life to all who would trust in him. Our Lord and God, may every head bowed here in Kilnats this morning be found trusting Christ at all times. Thank you, Lord God, too, for the assurance which you have this morning in knowing that we're never left to face life on our own, never left to face the hardships and uphill struggles of life on our own. But you are Emmanuel, God with us. The one who is with us every step of the way. Ah, what a comfort that is to our hearts. Amen.